This is Radio Parallax, a slightly different perspective from a slightly different view, with topics that include matters in science, technology, history, politics, current events, and whatever we damn well please. And now the host of Radio Parallax, Douglas Everett.
Welcome to the program. We're told when we're little that we should do the right thing. Some people make an effort for the rest of their lives to do exactly that, where I think it's clear many others do not. In our second segment today, we are privileged to have as our guest Christina Borgeson, an award-winning producer formerly of CBS News and PBS's Frontline, to talk about her book, Into the Buzzsaw, Leading Journalists Expose the Myth of a Free Press. I'm expecting a rather lengthy discussion in our second segment today with Christina Borgeson about a very interesting topic. You absolutely must stay tuned for that in segment two today. But let's do a bit of current events first. Among people a little less concerned with doing the right thing would be some of the good folks over at the Enron Corporation. Headline this week shows that Enron creditors are going to get less than 20 cents on the dollar under a reorganization plan as part of Enron's bankruptcy proceedings. We should note also, for the record, that Jeffrey Skilling and Kenneth Lay, who directed the Enron Corporation, have yet to be charged with any crimes in that tremendous financial debacle. Considering that here in California we're in a financial mess, largely generated by the power crisis 2 years ago, this tells me that the Bush administration is going to stand by its friends, those who were making major contributions. We should remind you that Enron was, before his run at the presidency, George Bush's number one lifetime financial supporter. Kenneth Lay's name was proposed as Energy Secretary when the Bush administration was being formulated, and Vice President Dick Cheney still refuses to release any minutes of meetings that took place early in the administration with the people at Enron and others. Now, in another bit of political chicanery, George Tenet, the head of the CIA, according to the headlines, says he's to blame for Bush making false claims about Saddam trying to get uranium from Niger. We've talked about these false claims before on the program, and this is actually very weird. The headlines say the CIA chief says he's taking the blame, but when you read what he has to say, it's more or less three things. First, the CIA approved the President's State of the Union address before it was delivered. Second, I'm responsible for the approval process. And third, the President had every reason to believe that the text presented to him was sound. This is so weird. The CIA has been saying that these estimates of weapons of mass destruction were overblown all along. There's been this sort of, you know, warfare going on in the Bush administration between the CIA as moderates, believe it or not, and the neoconservatives over at the Pentagon saying that the CIA is being way too wimpy. Now, Tony Blair has taken a lot of heat over in the UK for the fact that there have been no weapons of mass destruction. And as President Bush went around the African continent, according to the BBC, everywhere they went, they were having to face hard questions from reporters over this matter of the missing weapons of mass destruction. It's very curious, this limited way in which the CIA is falling on its sword for the benefit of the Bush administration. Senator John McCain has also said there needs to be an investigation and find out who is responsible and fire him. I think it's pretty clear that John McCain is going to make no challenge against George Bush in 2004, but I think he's looking down the road at 2008 and mending fences. He did put that op-ed piece in the Washington Post saying, oh, don't worry, I'm sure we'll turn up those weapons of mass destruction any day now. The fact of the matter is, the search has, in essence, been abandoned. There are no nuclear weapons, there are no biological weapons, and although there may have been some chemical weapons at this point in time, or at least by the time of the war starting, there weren't any. The searchers have gone home, ladies and gentlemen. We told you before the war this was BS. We thought that was true then, we thought it was true during the war, and it now appears that we're vindicated because after the war, they haven't turned them up. Bush's approval ratings have been taking a slight dip, mainly because of the fact that there continues to be a steady stream of casualties and fatalities among our troops occupying Iraq. We have 100-something-odd thousand troops in a nation of 16 million people. Winning the war was a lot easier than it's going to be to win the peace. We warned about that, and unfortunately, it appears that we were correct in our assessments. What surprises me is how willing people are to accept George Tenet's view that somehow he's to blame for something that they were resisting all along. It's very strange. Contrast that, if you will, with the story from Fairfield locally about those crop circles. Apparently these crop circles, which bore a rather distinct resemblance to Mickey Mouse, have been attracting the curious and kooky for quite some time down to the area. Well, on Saturday, according to the San Francisco Chronicle, bored teens try to claim crop circles. They say they're behind hoax, but some have doubts. Article by Steve Rubenstein and Aaron Hallisey opens up saying, four teenage boys admitted on Friday what the world is not ready to hear. There are no space aliens or flying saucers in Solano County. But confessing to the prank turned out to be not nearly so difficult as persuading the world to believe their confession. Even the local district attorney has doubts. I think sometimes people just believe what they want to believe. The boys show up. They've got their original planning sketches for the circles. They bring in the boards and ropes they used to make them. They show off the scratches of the wheat stalks on their legs, and one boy even brought his mother as a character witness. They then use the boards and ropes to flatten a small patch of weeds to demonstrate their skills, and people still don't believe them. Now, I would surmise that if George Tenet admitted to making the crop circles, everybody would readily believe him. One little noted sidelight to our current move to more, quote, homeland security, unquote, are some regulations that affected pyrotechnics and model rocketeers. Now, apparently there were all these new permits that had to be in effect because pyrotechnics and fireworks technically could be used as weapons, so all of our 4th of July fireworks displays had to, you know, had to jump through hoops to get the proper paperwork done. And it looks as though they're going to be able to sort that one out. On the other hand, model rocketeers, and I'm sure a lot of you have shot off model rockets. It's a really fun little hobby. It teaches you a lot of physics in the process. I've done it. I've enjoyed it immensely. Well, the model rocketeers are in trouble. According to new ATF regulations, you can't have more than a certain amount of propellant because of this homeland security angle that someone could conceivably use a model rocket to make a terrorist weapon. Well, yeah, that's true. You can also use a gasoline-filled bottle with a rag stuffed in it to make a terrorist weapon that'll work quite well. All right, headline from The Onion. I should mention some part in our current events segment. last week's edition, Bush asks Congress for $30 billion to help fight war on criticism. According to The Onion, if the funding is approved, the Bush administration will act swiftly to shore up numerous areas of vulnerability. Among the actions, ensuring the White House is defended against verbal snipers, safeguarding the president's past illicit actions from biographical weapons, and sealing off the largest sources of domestic criticism by securing and patrolling the nation's newsrooms. Let me close with an item here that's anything but humorous. Dateline, Saturday, July 12th, Sacramento Bee. New U.S. action against medical pot. The Supreme Court is being asked by the Bush administration to overturn an appellate decision that barred federal drug agents from investigating California physicians who recommend that ill patients use marijuana to relieve suffering. Now, the way this happened is in 1997, there was a class action lawsuit filed by doctors and patients suffering from AIDS and cancer. They had obtained an injunction barring the federal government from taking any action against doctors under the policy that was passed in California that decriminalized marijuana use for medical purposes. The Clinton administration had drawn up a policy that said doctors who recommend the use of marijuana could lose their license to prescribe medications under the Controlled Substance Act. The Ninth Circuit put in an injunction focusing on the First Amendment rights of doctors. And Theodore Olson, Solicitor General of the United States, acting for the Bush administration, wants to see that overturned. Screw the First Amendment, says the Bush administration. In his petition asking the High Court to reverse the Ninth Court decision, the Solicitor General described the injunction as a judicial intrusion into the authority of the Federal Drug Enforcement Administration's responsibility to investigate doctors who stray from the strict rules governing how drugs used for legitimate medical purposes are manufactured, dispensed, and controlled. We should all be worried about this. I should especially be worried about this. In my 20 years of being a physician, this issue has come up on numerous occasions. People have asked, people who were sick, people who had cancer, people who might have HIV/AIDS, have asked about whether marijuana might in some circumstances help them. Marijuana has been demonstrated to help people who are having problems with nausea due to chemotherapy and problems eating because of their emaciation from advanced disease. If Theodore Olson, John Ashcroft, and George W. Bush get their way, I will then become a criminal. If a patient asks me a straight-up question and I give them a straight-up answer about their own health, these people would apparently prefer that these people simply suffer. In the Bush administration's view, marijuana clubs where medical pot is dispensed is filled with drug agents investigating it. They note that large numbers of marijuana recommendations come from a few particular physicians, and the DEA needs to be able to investigate these doctors behaving irresponsibly, according to Theodore Olson, Solicitor General. This is a hair-raising story, and I guarantee you we will return to it in the weeks to come. You're listening to Radio Parallax. This is KDVS 90.3 FM. I'm Douglas Everett, and stay tuned for segment two with Christina Borgeson. I guarantee you'll find this interesting.
Come shine.